Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Josh Wigler here. And before we get into today's Star Wars Revenge of the Sith podcast, I want to take a quick moment to thank our sponsors for this episode of Post Show Recaps. Those are our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it could be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance, along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. We got a long time to go in that galaxy far, far away, but no more time to spend other than this time we're spending right now on the prequels. That's right, the prequels are over. It's the Revenge of the Sith. Live feedback special here on Post Show Recaps, live in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord. I'm Josh Wigler, ready to have a good time with my co-hosts this week on A Long Time to Go. And first off, I don't know if he is master or apprentice when it comes to the Sith lordery, but he's definitely on Team Palpatine, I think, pretty safe to say. Kevin Mahadeo.
I don't think that's safe at all, Josh. In fact, one of the takes I wrote down was Emperor Palpatine sucks, full stop.
No, he's the best character in the movie for sure. It's not even close. It's really not
I think halfway through it, he's the best character in the movie, but we'll get there, I suppose.
Nah, he's so great. He's so great. Of course, that wow coming your way. Coming your way from your friend and mine, the great Latanya Stark. Latanya, how's it going?
You know, pimping ain't easy, but it's necessary.
Yeah, that's what Palpatine says, too. Yeah,
I'm just over here losing my voice a little bit, so I'm sipping on some tea while dropping some tea about this.
I'm going to say I'm going to spill some tea.
Some tea about this particular episode of The Wars in the Stars.
Yeah. Yeah. The great Brendan Fitzpatrick is here watching along, talking with us live in the podcast, and he says, palping ain't easy.
That's true. Palping ain't Brendan's, easy.
It's the first official feedback on the board.
I always love how Fitzy holds it down. He's always like, you know, smelling what I'm stepping in, and it's great.
He knows what's up. Yeah. He knows what's up. This is what's up in case you don't know what's up. We're talking one last time, Revenge of the Sith, before all is said and done on our prequel coverage of A Long Time to Go. And indeed, it has taken a long time to get here. We started this coverage back in January. Here we are in April. It's as planned. I mean, a few fewer podcasts, I think, than we had initially envisioned. I think initially it was like three a month. We've gotten to like two a month. March, we got one. But like the whole point of the podcast was much like sort of like the opening slow crawl of a Star Wars movie. We've been slow crawling through Star Wars. Folks, it's there in the title. It's called A Long Time to Go. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not saying like, oh, we're binging it. No, we're like giving you like a month on a movie. So this is the second Revenge of the Sith podcast we've done. The great Ben Martell, Ben Behind the Curtain, joined me for the recap of Revenge of the Sith just a couple of weeks ago. And now this is phase two. This is, we close the book. We do it with the assistance of Kevin and LaTanya, maybe some duel of debates. We do it with the assistance of some feedback from you listening to this live in the Discord. Patron perk, you get to watch and participate in a podcast as we're recording it live. So that's what's up. We're talking Revenge of the Sith, the best of the prequels. That's the consensus. Whether or not that's the reality, I think it sounds like is something that we are going to be talking about today. And I guess like the spoiler is I just watched Kevin shake his head when I said the best of the prequels. And so I guess I'll just start there. It's like, so it's not? So what is?
It wasn't so much a head shake as like just a twitch as I thought about it. It's really tough. I can safely say Attack of the Clones is not the best, in my opinion. It's such a crapshoot for this movie. My experiences with these movies are so interesting, and each of them are unique. Like, my journey for each of these movies is unique in and of itself. Like, we talked about the first one, right? The Phantom Menace. We talked about, I saw that, you know, opening day. I was super excited. I walked out being like, this is great. And then, like, you know, yippee! Later. Yeah, yippee! And then later on, I went back and was like, this is bad. And then Attack of the Clones was, this is bad. And then it stayed, this is bad. That hasn't changed. But then Revenge of the Sith is, again, another unique one. Because Revenge of the Sith, for me, I walked out, I remember in college is when I saw this, being like, this is great. That fight is awesome. And then at a certain point, I, like, really went down and was like, this is bad. And I feel like I've sort of come somewhere else in this one. I can't safely say I think it's the best, but it is stupid good. Like, it's so dumb in parts and so bad in parts, but the dumbness is good and entertaining in parts of this. This is my ultimate review of this movie, and it's fortuitous that someone posted a GIF earlier. And let me finish before anyone jumps in here.
Okay, Kanye, calm down.
Star Wars Revenge of the Sith is the Breaking Dawn of the Star Wars franchise. And I mean,
he's back on his Twilight nonsense.
I swear to everything that is good and pure about the world.
It took like 5 minutes to do it, which is awesome.
Not this movie is not good and pure, but it is. It's both like Breaking Dawn Part 1 and Part 2, where the first half of this movie is boring and stupid and not good. But the second half, holy crap. Does it take a turn? Palpatine at that point goes full Michael Sheen. He is just and it's just like this, like over the topness.
Could you think about doing that one more time? Like, could we just rewind the tape and just get that?
That was fantastic.
It's a one time thing, or maybe part way through again.
That's it.
It's not a one time thing.
It won't be.
We'll get him back.
I'm gonna definitely do some Palpatine stuff, but like that's sort of where this movie lands for me. In that, like, half of it is terrible and half of it is kind of like disastrously magnificent. But like, because of that, it sort of cancels out. That's why I only watch Breaking Dawn Part 2, because that's the good one. But like, man, TLDR, too late. I don't know if this is the best. That actually might go to 1. So there we are.
The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, might go to the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, we had, as we were weighing this question, Josh Lemer writes, is Revenge of the Sith the best prequel? And then answers his own question with a gif of Darth Vader screaming, no!
Another big reason this one has, like I said, beautifully, like a train wreck of magnificent proportions. Just that scene.
Yeah. Yeah, Fitzy notes that Kevin chose violence tonight, and Felipe wisely points out that Kevin always chooses violence.
Mm-hmm.
As LaTanya, interacting in the chat, notes Kevin's never not choosing violence. Which brings us, of course, to LaTanya. Because LaTanya, your journey here is singular. Your journey here is unique. LT, you're discovering the prequels for the first time. And tonight, with time to spare, I believe you are fresh off watching Obi-Wan slice Anakin's arm and leg
so off fresh
for the first time.
So fresh.
I'm pretty sure that you just watched
I
that.
Definitely did just watch it, and then I took a shower to just, like, you know, like, get all the gunk away.
Yeah.
Like, you know, try not to think anymore about that. And now I'm going to, but, you know, now that I've gotten it out of my head, I'm going to talk about it on this podcast.
Yeah, I remember when we did the recap, Ben and I were both just, like, fascinated with, like, how did he, like, what a move from Obi-Wan.
That move.
Just, like, the slice, like, the arc.
The move, you know, that he really just, like, literally so other every other Obi-Wan move was somehow able to achieve that this time.
Yeah.
So that's also a thing.
He warns him. He says, Anakin, don't. I have the high ground.
Do not.
And he's been thinking about this for probably like a decade and change when he had the low ground, and Darth Maul didn't do anything about it when he jumped up and then reclaimed the high ground. And he's replayed that 1,000 times. Like, if I was Darth Maul, I would have chopped me in half as soon as I shot up. And why wouldn't he have done that? What an idiot. If I ever find myself in the high ground, I'm just going to chop off the arm and legs of whoever's flying at me.
But there's, like,
he probably, like, had said this to Anakin a couple of times over the course of their time together, like, just recounting the stories, like, yeah, you want to know what happened to Qui-Gon? Well, this happened, and then I was floating down, and I nearly fell down this nebulous shaft of nothingness. And, like, if I could have done it, like, if, I don't know why Darth Maul didn't just, like, attack me. He had the high ground.
What was he doing?
Interesting point. And then in, like, the heat of his anger, Anakin forgets the story, and Obi-Wan's, like, trying to tell him. He's like, no, don't do it. I've told you this story 1,000 times. I have the high ground. And Anakin's like, I'm still going to do it.
He's so obsessed. He's so taken aback and obsessed by the dark side, you know? He's ensorcelled. Joanna Robinson would say,
he's mad with
something.
Also, just stupid. But that, like, that's my problem with, like, even this. I really hate this line, because the whole high ground argument applies if you don't have magic superpowers, and even without the jump, it's not like he's dangling like Obi-Wan was and didn't have control of his arms to use the Force or anything. There's a billion other things he could have done. It's just one of those other George Lucas's, like. Yeah, it's symmetry.
Kevin, Star Wars has to rhyme. I don't know why you don't know this by now. It's got to rhyme.
I don't think he knows what rhyming is. And I also don't think he knows what tragedy is, because he talks about the tragedy of Dark Pelagius. And I wrote that down. I was like, is that really a tragedy? That's not really something super, like, tragedy, like, in its term of a story to that story you just told. George just uses words, man. I don't think he knows what they mean. He just writes them and hopes that they mean
something.
He
doesn't need to know what they mean. He's rich. It's fine.
LaTanya, fresh off of watching Obi-Wan Kenobi slice off Anakin's arm and legs because he had the high ground, and he'd warned him.
Yeah, and because Anakin was being a little brat.
He definitely had warned him. We see him warn him, and I bet they talked about this. I know I haven't seen all of Clone Wars, but I'm sure that there's an episode of Clone Wars. There's 1,000 of them. And there's got to be the one where he's like, did I ever tell you about the time that Darth Maul had the high ground and he should have used it more wisely, and what I'll do the next time?
Yeah, anyway. Not just that. I'm sure in training, you know, when they were doing their Jedi training, they had this exercise.
If you ever get the high ground, use this move.
Exactly.
You will slice off your opponent's legs and a single arm. It's an amazing move. LaTanya, fresh off of watching that. Uh-huh. Your reactions to Revenge of the Sith?
It was definitely a movie.
Was it?
That much I can say.
Counterpoint.
there were some performances that were questionable. There was some dialogue that was just like...
really good.
Sure. I was going to say really bad. But, you know, probably you're right, because it's so bad that it kind of, like, goes around, like, and becomes good. It's just like, you know, hold me like you did that night on, you know, insert planet here before there were any wars or councils. And it's like, lady, calm down. You are fully in the midst of an abusive relationship right now. What's happening?
What about it's because I'm so in love? No, no. It's because I'm so in love with you. That is some Mortal Kombat dialogue right there. That is some just like, I will destroy you.
We don't know. Mortal Kombat
I mean destroy you. It's like, ooh, you know? Good counter.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear you, like, are you making fun of, like, the original Mortal Kombat, the 1990s one? Because that movie's great.
Making fun of it? No, that movie's amazing. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Like, that movie's way better than this.
It's fantastic. I don't know that I think that this is the best of the three, even though that is what I was told going into all of this. I enjoyed one and two a lot more than I did this one, honestly. Mostly because I believe we had one of those instances, and we can reference this now because it's like the however many year anniversary, yada, yada. And they parallel one another, but it was, the heel turn that Anakin takes for me needs to last more than just one movie for
sure. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
One scene.
Yeah.
Just it's so immediate. It's so bad how quick it happens. And they tried to, like, do this thing at the beginning. But even then, like, when Palpatine has his amazing line, when Anakin's there with Dooku with the two lightsabers, and Palpatine's just like, do it.
Yeah.
Like, Anakin's just like, I want to. Okay. And then just does it. There's no emotion.
It's
there's like, nothing.
It's against the code of the Jedi. We should take him in. But I want to.
He's bad. Like, that's definitely something that I think affects this movie a lot, is that Hayden Christensen's bad. He's not good. And
he's not as bad as he's not as bad as I thought he was going to be, if that makes any sense.
I guess
I would love to know more. I would love to know more about that. I would love to hear you expand upon that too.
Well,
explain what you think you mean by that.
here's what I know I mean by that, Kevin.
I know. It was a reference. It's
I know.
A quote.
I know. So
fight. Do it.
I expected Hayden Christensen to be as mopey in this episode as he was in episode two. And I didn't expect him. And I know that he was told that he had to bulk up in between movies in order to, like, you know, play more of the, like, dashing man. In this particular one, who, like, takes the fall to the dark side. I guess I just expected him to be more whiny. I expected him to not be as broody as he was. And broody works a lot better for him than just out whining. But he reverts to being whiny at the end of the movie. I thought that Natalie Portman's performance, and, like, I love Natalie Portman so much, and I hate saying this, but I thought she was terrible in this movie.
Yeah, she's not good. But she's also probably like, ugh.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I can't believe, like, she's like, I should be winning an Oscar. What am I doing?
I'm sure that she feels the same way about being in this movie as we feel about
being
in this movie, which is just like, why? And, like, don't.
She's like, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, no.
You're in Harvard. Make better decisions.
Yeah, but it was good money.
I'm sure it's great money.
Presumably, yeah.
Allegedly.
You know?
But yeah, I guess I expected him to be worse, Hayden Christensen, to be a lot worse than what he was. And he was fine. He was fine. He did what needed to be done, even though it was hastily done. It happened.
Yeah. the great Xanalore himself, Jeff in the Discord, is posting a GIF of Natalie Portman from the incredible Natalie Portman rap.
Yeah, one of two SNL. That she from did SNL. For yep. SNL.
When she said, when I was at Harvard, I smoked weed every day. That's the lyric.
You know, I
cheated every test.
I don't think Natalie is that bad. She's bad, but, like, she's also not working with a lot, and I feel like she's doing the best she could. Like, the scene, again, half the movie is the part I like, and so, like, those are the parts that stick out to me the most. Like, when they cut to her and she just has to burst out crying, it's a laughable moment because it's so overwrought, but, like, she's doing what she was asked for and, like, kind of selling it as best as she could. I think the best example for me, both why this movie is great, but also terrible, is that
Great's a big word.
There's two scenes that I am glad this movie has given birth to because it lives on through TikTok and everything else. One is the, of course, the hello there. And then the General Kenobi, like it's everywhere and I love it. I'll watch those TikToks all day. And the other, of course, is the speech at the end. Also lives on TikTok everywhere. That speech is incredible where they go back and forth and like, especially Ewan's line delivery where he's just like, your new empire and the whole like, my allegiance is a republic to democracy. Like that entire bit is great. And I think
the speech, you mean like the confrontation?
The confrontation between them, right? And I think honestly,
that's like a huge TikTok thing.
Oh, it's huge. Like really? People like it's going back and forth using the audio and they put it to different things. Some people did it where it's Mario and Luigi. It's incredible. It's all over TikTok. It is one
literally
of my favorite things.
No one understands
on
the kids these days. You know,
So good. I'm happy for the kids today's days because they're doing great things with this movie. But like that scene is to me,
you were supposed to be the chosen one.
not even that part, right? Like that's all the way at the end. I'm just talking about that moment where Natalie's coming out and like she's having that moment. And yes, the line, Anna, you're breaking my heart is a bad line. But I actually think Natalie and Ewan are selling the garbage really, really well. And they are acting circles around this fool. And like his delivery's terrible. And like they're at their, I think, top of the entire trilogy, Ewan and Natalie are, and Hayden cannot
keep
up.
Poor Hayden Christensen.
And I
poor
feel
Hayden
like
Christensen's just getting dragged. He's getting dragged.
Because, and it, who does it go back to? George. Because I'm convinced George cast Hayden, because if there's one thing Hayden can do, is that he can look broody. His brooding is top notch. He's very good at standing and looking at lava and feeling very upset about it. Like he's very good at that
part.
To quote
and that's my
the so-called only
life,
reason
he
was
leans
cast.
Great. He leans great.
Yeah. But
none of those people that you just named can hold even the flicker of a candle to what Palpatine is doing in this movie.
Oh,
100%. So like co-signed.
He goes so co-signed. Nuts. But that's what you need to do. You need to commit
to the ridiculous. If you get a script with these words and you have already agreed to do it, then you need to go full ridiculous. Like you need to go, you know, as out as you possibly can. There's no subtlety involved in any of this stuff, right? There's nothing. There's just like times when people burst into tears or, you know, we only get like the tiniest bit of character development based on hair and makeup. So you have to kind of go all out and give one of those like for the ages performances when the dialogue is this terrible or else everything you say falls flat. And that's what happens for me with everyone else in this movie, even Obi-Wan. I'm just like, you all are just saying words. You're not, like, there's no feeling behind any of this stuff until we get to the final battle with Obi-Wan and Darth Vader. There's nothing there. We're dealing with a lot of nothing except for Palpatine.
Yeah. Josh Lehmer writes in and says, Hayden's fine in every non-Star Wars movie. Legendarily acclaimed Oscar-winning actors are struggling in this movie and barely can get their characters across. It's all George's fault.
It is. But even like Palpatine, I feel like that's the thing. Like halfway into this movie is where he goes full crazy. And
no,
the first
he's
half,
in it from the jump. What are you talking
he
about?
Has only, he, it's only the two lines.
And he's like, oh, kill my apprentice, please. Cool, do it. He's like, oh,
there's only that one.
Know,
it's
dude.
Only that one. Do it.
But he's
like,
also,
every other time
whole,
he's doing like normal delivery more
Kevin
or less.
The whole time during the fight, he's like, get him. Go.
Yeah. It's dark. It's sick. It's like really gross. He's like, ooh, good, do it. Like, it's weird. And then, like, he's doing, like the Sorkinian, like, walk and talks with Anakin. And he's like, you know, you're just the absolute best, Anakin. Like, it's your hair, it's your power, it's the way you walk, your posture is quite good. He's just, like, he's going for it. Like, especially because, you know, this is the movie where he's going to pop off. And then, like, when you know that he pops off and you've seen the whole movie, I feel like, I don't know, I think that maybe it's a matter of just, like, I need something to be working for me really well. And so, like, I put all of my chips on Palpatine.
Yeah.
On on this terrible man.
Well, I guess if you put all your chips, you have to like ride or die with it, or else you're in trouble psychologically. But yeah. I think the other problem is also he has his moments there. And when he makes that ridiculous sound, when he jumps to the Jedi, like all that stuff is amusing. But most of the time, and I think this goes back to when I say like Palpatine sucks, I don't even mean like him. The actor's great. He's doing his stuff. But like the character sucks. Like the entire beginning of the movie with his speeches, it's what I hate about that character. He just walks around and says stuff so much. Where it's like, even in the new one or in the original, where it's just like, strike me down, I will become more powerful. Did you just make that up? That makes no sense, dude. Like he just says stuff and it's like really crappy, and especially because this character, I guess, prolongs itself all the way throughout Star Wars history. It just makes it more grating to me now. Yeah. And I feel like that's also come back around to it, unfortunately. Because, like, knowing that this, for whatever reason, this character who somehow convinces... I mean, not somehow. Everyone else is a moron. That's how he does it. And able to convince every idiot in the room to, like, listen to him. And Anakin, who is just, again, also just stupid, to, like, follow along with his stuff. It's crazy. Because it's all badly written. So it loses its power. Because the writing is so bad and things just happen so quickly. Yeah,
that's one of the first takes I have.
Unlimited power!
That's when he gets it! That, like, unlimited power! Like, that stuff is so dumb.
It's just so great when he's just, like, sort of just, like, this, like, overbathed, slimy, wrinkled thumb. And he's just, like, salivating, looking at Anakin with the,
good.
It's just like the grossest thing, and I don't know. It feels like something that's out of like a really like gross 80s horror show.
Yeah, and someone slept with that dude.
Yes.
You know? I'll just leave it there, but it happened.
Yeah.
Someone had a rough night.
Yeah.
I don't even know why they did, like, it's so weird to be like, well, we gotta show why he looks like that in the future, and it's just like, do we? We could have just figured he got old.
He just,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's so weird that they had to explain consequences why he looks that way.
I do think that the thing that is wild to me is that, like, I don't know. I mean, like, I guess I get the temptation that, like, these movies rhyme. So, like, when you go to episode 9, like, you do want to find a thing that was there in episode 6, I guess. And so Palpatine was there. But then you go back to episode 3 and you're like, all right, well, episode 6 maybe isn't like the best Star Wars movie, but a lot of people certainly really, really love it. And I know, Kevin, I believe it's your favorite. It's mine. There's just so much to mine from there. That's great. But I guess, like, if I want episode 9 to rhyme, I got to look back at episode 3 and what's there here. And, like, you're just like, glazed over, and you like fall asleep on watch number 1 if you're JJ Abrams. You're like, oh shit, I fell asleep, all right, I gotta do it again. And you fall asleep on watches 2, 3, and 4, and then on 5 you're awake and you're like, the only thing keeping me awake is Sheev. Look at this guy, he's so gross, he's just so going for
his
it
name,
like,
Sheev.
His name's Palpatine. Sheev,
and he still convinces a Senate room looking like that, like, yes, just make me emperor, please.
You know, so it's like, I guess you're like, well, what am I taking from this? If I want it to rhyme, George said, I got to do it.
You don't know. Just because someone tells you to do something doesn't mean you have to do it, Josh.
Or you can name...
I don't know that I'm blaming episode 3 because, like, what? Because Palpatine's, like, the only one that's, like, really doing it.
If you really
want to
make it rhyme and you want to bring back all of that, like, Palp's energy, then just pretend he had a long-lost twin brother named Sleeve. And, like, he was the one who was responsible.
Sleeve is right there.
Steve Palpatine. God, I would watch that series. Just his brother Steve.
Coming to Disney Plus, Steve Palpatine. Yeah.
just his adventures.
But this rhyming thing, and this is sort of where, and this is the bigger, I think, issue with these prequels, is that I think doing prequels like this and relying on, like, here, let's tell the story of Darth Vader, it was, in my opinion, a mistake, because it's a story we didn't necessarily need. And linking, unfortunately, into the future trilogy, the most recent one, in the same way, to this past, to just this is the only thing that matters in a literal galaxy. You built an entire galaxy, and you've chosen to just focus in on essentially just one tiny, tiny piece of it, and that's all that matters. Is crazy. They could have, there's so much out there they could expand. And I think that's where The Mandalorian succeeds, because it's not, until relatively recently, so connected to all the other stuff. And to do like the prequels to be like, oh yes, this is the Palpatine thing and we have to make it all rhyme. And it's just like, you don't though. You have an entire galaxy you built. There's so many stories you could tell. There's so many places you could go. And to do this, to overemphasize these characters and give into these backstories and to actually like really downgrade a lot of these characters in the mythos, like, sucks. And that's what the prequels ultimately ended up doing. Because even Palpatine, again, like, knowing this is how he got
he's
the power.
So good.
Just,
I'm not
like,
going to hear this slander. This is crazy to me.
Again, there's a
like,
difference
there's so
between
much
the
that's
actor.
Wrong with Revenge of the Sith, and there's so much that's wrong with the Palpatine. There's so much. Freudian slip. What are you doing to me? Get out of my head, Kevin, with your mind
stop
tricks.
It, Kevin. Stop it.
There's so much wrong, and we're spending time, like, bagging on Sheev. I'm not doing
it. there are lots of takes. There are lots and lots of takes that we could get into about this movie.
Like, the take of, like, Sheev's not... Nah, he's the only one!
He's the only one doing anything,
and
earning
his
paycheck.
And McGregor's beautiful. He's sure. beautiful, and he looks the part as Obi-Wan, and I'm psyched to see what they do with a TV show with Kevin. Like, that's great.
Except
maybe
for
with some actual dialogue, you know, that people say... In real life.
Maybe Hayden will actually have things that
interested.
Will be good as opposed to, I hate you!
Like, I'm interested. I'm interested to see.
Holy crap, that read was bad.
I'm interested. I want to know. I want to know what happens when you bring Hayden Christensen back. Like, what is this going to look like? Is it flashbacks?
Yeah.
Or is he just walking around to start? Like, what's their plan
All
here?
I know is that he hates
him.
Know.
Yep.
I hate you.
I hate you. I mean,
has anyone ever done a video that re-edits that scene to Rammstein's Du Hast?
Oh my God.
Because that's what it means.
I hope someone did.
I think it'd be good. I'd like to watch it. I think it'd be great.
Wow. I did not
LT,
think
give
that
us
would
some
come in to this podcast.
Fresh, spicy takes on Revenge of the Sith.
Fresh, spicy takes. Isn't the entire purpose of the Jedi that they can sense things?
They're not good at this.
They're not good at anything.
What are they even doing? Okay, so if I'm going to go ahead and read out the actual take that I wrote down, that means I have to find it first. We're going to get there, I promise. Okay, so the Jedi apparently just can't sense evil in their midst.
Yeah.
Just slowly and surely building up power because there's 3 years in between these movies, right?
I think it's something like that. I'm sure that there's a better answer that I don't
know. I believe it's 3 years. I try not to say anything unless I've. So
Brendan Fitzpatrick verified.
Thank you.
Years.
Thanks, Fitzy. So am I missing something here? Like, how could there possibly be an entire Jedi Council in the same area?
That misses this?
Where this man is. And they're just like, oh, we'll just like keep a look. Like, yo, we'll just later when he's already become a clear problem and he's on the verge of a complete and total dictatorship, we will send Mace Windu and two of his like least known sidekicks to try to apprehend this guy, and it'll be fine. Everything will be fine.
All right, Mace, democracy is about to collapse. We're really going to need to swoop in. Bring Jim and Trevor.
Right. Jim and Trevor are going to be great. And we're just not going to notice, other than that, we're just not going to notice a damn thing that happens, right? They're not being relevant or useful or effective in any way. They didn't notice the coup that was being undertaken by one of the most evil men in history right under their own noses. And they're so like hampered by the fact that there's supposed to be a Jedi way and we have to stick to the codes and the rules and ceremony and all this stuff.
Totally implausible when you put it
that
way.
They cannot see the forest for the trees. Like, upon allowing Anakin a seat on the council, which he completely like bitched and complained about like a child, which we can talk about later. They ask him to spy on Palpatine, unknowing that he's like a double agent and already a Palpatine loyalist, essentially, at this point. But like, how do they not know that? Also, there are just so many links in the chain of causation here that all of these very smart, they're always like, search your feelings and figure out that Sheev is up to no good. Here's hint number one. Well, his name's Sheev.
It's not unlike Space Jam. And what happens in Space Jam...
I'm going to disagree immediately.
It's not unlike what happens in Space Jam. The aliens from, like, the trash planet come to Earth and sap the powers of several incredible professional basketball players and become the Monstars.
Uh-huh.
And they are still no match for one Michael Jordan.
Well, obviously.
And that's what's happening here is, like, the Jedi are great. The Jedi are you know, they're you know, they do lightsaber stuff really well.
they
use the Force. They've
been known to.
And Sheev is the Michael Jordan.
I mean,
and he can't be stopped. And Hayden Christensen and Darth Vader is Bill Murray.
But it's so...
And he shows up and he takes it over the
it's
line.
It's so boring in how it's all done. Like, these movies, the prequels
just
especially...
I just want to shout out Deidre, who rightfully notes that Josh is such a professional movie and TV critic.
Referencing Space Jam. But, like, these movies, the prequels, like, ruined the Jedi on so many levels. Like, everything LaTanya said there applies. It's just their complete... obliviousness, their failure to actually do anything that seems reasonable or within their power. And also, I mean, this goes back to the fighting, but again, like, I just really hate how they move. They're like, they're cartoon characters. They move like mannequins on strings versus, especially now that we've gotten stuff like Rogue One, and especially now that we've gotten stuff like The Mandalorian, like, there, and yes, the new trilogy. The way those Jedi's move, the way they use the Force is so much more effective and seems so much more powerful and, like, intimidating versus, like, you have the four Jedi walk in the room and it's just like, well, how do we show Sheev Palpatine's good? I don't know, turn him into a cartoon and have him spin at them in a circle and he'll kill two of them immediately. Just
yeah,
like,
he's
okay.
Very good. He's been holding back.
It's a especially with this stuff, like, you're building up to this moment and like, Darth Vader as a character, you're building up to this character who becomes this Dark Lord of the Sith. And what do you eventually have him do? He murders children. That's basically it. And it's just like, that's insane. That's the direction they went with this character. He should have become, like, have him have the fight with, like, the first fight with Obi-Wan early on, where Obi-Wan wins and he gets turned into Darth Vader halfway into this movie. He walks around as Darth Vader the rest of the movie and, like, has to kill the other Jedi under the order of Palpatine. Not have Order 66, which is stupid, where you have the Jedi get ganked in the back like chumps. Yeah. And then you can have the final fight where Obi-Wan loses against Vader and has to get out of there. That's what the story could have been, and it could have been cooler because you could have made Darth Vader the, like, intimidating force we see in the future versus what we see him as here.
But if if that's the case, then Sheev can't say execute Order 66, and then we never get that.
It's one letter away from the other six. It feels evil.
They should have gone all the way. I think. I think they should have gone the full way with the
Order 666. I have heard someone say that 66, and I don't know if this is the real reason, but I saw that someone say it's 66 because the sixth letter of the alphabet is F, so it's Order FF for friendly fire.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
I don't know if that's accurate. I think someone made that up as a way of compensating for something stupid.
I prefer it as it's FF. Yeah. It's farewell, friends.
Farewell, friends. And you know what? Also, can we talk about
friends.
That one, the sexism in the one female Jedi is the one who gets outright shot in the back, not even seeing it coming. And then they kept firing at her when she's on the floor. The other one, Mundi, they shot him. And then when he landed on the floor, they're like, all right, stop shooting. For whatever reason, the one female Jedi just gets blasted over and over again when she's down. And I was like, that seems excessive.
Nah, that's just what happens. Jedi. You got to do it. You got to do it.
Yeah.
There's no choice other than that.
That's the only other female character in this movie, right?
You don't need any other female characters.
Yeah, the two. So the quota's filled. We're good.
I have a whole thing prepared about Padme. We'll get to that.
Let's do it.
We're
here.
I just talked a whole lot, so I didn't want to be here
for 5 hours talking about Revenge of the Sith. So just get it out now, LaTanya. If you've got a take, don't save anything for the way back.
Okay, fine. I'll do it right now. All right. So I believe that Padme and Anakin have all the hallmarks of an abusive relationship, right? So they have this secret marriage. And in fact, their whole life together is a secret. Padme mostly stays at their home alone, only with visits, it seems, from droids and Obi-Wan and Anakin. And whenever Anakin finds out that Obi-Wan has visited, he's like, what? To do what? Why? Why? What are you doing? So that's kind of like textbook isolation, even though it can be argued that, oh, of course they're doing this because, you know, she's pregnant and they don't want people to find out that she's pregnant. And just the look on Anakin's face when she tells him that she's pregnant was very much, can we get Jerry Springer in here real quick to do a DNA test?
His first reaction's not good. His first reaction's like, oh, shit.
It's just like, oh, no. No one told me that part of the birds and or bees.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So there's that part that's like textbook, you know, isolationism. Then Padme is just kind of secluded this whole time in this hut in the middle of the sky. Does she ever talk to people? I guess we see her at one Senate meeting, so she's allowed to go and do that. But other than that, she's just kind of, her whole life revolves around this man who is becoming increasingly obsessed with both her and keeping her safe. And it's that kind of like, I'm obsessed with keeping a woman safe trope, that, you know, and then keeping them inside to make sure.
Stay in the penthouse.
Exactly. To never, make sure that nothing leave. Happens and don't talk to anyone else. And then.
Pretty bird. You know, pretty bird.
Yeah, seriously. And then by the end, he straight up force chokes his pregnant wife until she passes out.
Yeah, he does that.
And that's after she's just like, I'm just here to save you. I've come on a mission against the advice of the only people I am allowed to speak to.
Yeah.
Droids. and I've come to save you from yourself.
The only people I'm allowed to talk to are literal robots. One of whom can't talk back to me.
Yeah, they're robots. Or at least
I can
only
understand him.
And one of them is going to have his memory wiped at any moment, so he probably will just forget me. Yeah, it's just like she's being actively fridged throughout the entirety of this movie until she actually does die and then is completely fridged.
Well, she has nothing to live for. Certainly
she's lost. She dies in the very, like, the most medical opinion I've ever heard from a doctor. She's lost the will to live.
Yep.
The what?
She literally dies of a broken heart because, again, George thinks that's somehow poetic. Yeah, it's dumb.
She got sad, as Ted notes. She died of sadness.
Again, nothing to live for. Certainly not the two kids she just
gave birth to. No, and named.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, real quick, gotta get these out.
I've lost the will to live except to say the names of these children. And again, you're breaking my heart. Oh my gosh. Like,
is it really possible that I am today years old. April 20th.
Oh my God. 2021. Are you saying you didn't realize she died of a broken heart?
No, that's not what I'm saying. It might be worse.
Oh.
Am I only just now, today, 9:56 p.m. on the East Coast, April 20th, 2021, as I'm recording these words, realizing that George Lucas named Luke Skywalker because his last name is Lucas?
Yeah, I think you are.
Wow. I didn't even think about that.
Anyway, it's been great. I've had a good time here.
Yeah, that's awful. I hate that.
That's disqualifying. You shouldn't listen to anything else that I have to say.
It's okay. It's fine. I fully didn't know what the meaning of the song Crash Into Me meant until I was a junior in college.
Do you want to take some time to explain that? No.
No. I'm just saying that, you know, things happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, okay, so I feel like I
right,
get
this didn't occur to Jeff either. So Jeff meanwhile Josh is like, oh, people realize that 1977. All right, well, cool.
Good for all you smart people. I think LaTanya, you provide some interesting points, but for me that just very much feels like Order 66 meaning friendly fire. Like, I think you have a lot of stuff that makes sense there, but that's not the way it was written or meant to be construed very clearly, I think, from just the dialogue and Lucas thing. I feel like very much it meant they wanted it to be like, this tragedy because they were in love and she's pregnant and his fear about the death. And for all we know, he was nervous about the pregnancy because he had those nightmares already, right? Like, oh, she's going to die in pregnancy.
Oh, of course. Yeah. You can definitely rationalize it. But that doesn't mean that none of those things happen.
Well, I mean, it didn't happen in the sense of just like we're putting stuff in that wasn't written to be that way. And like, I get it. And I totally see that interpretation. And I'm not trying to be like, Padme put herself in the, no. I just think that Lucas, as a bad writer, thought he was writing some sort of like love story tragedy.
And my point is that
it ended up.
And my point is that we need to get away from the idea that these types of quote unquote love story tragedies are acceptable.
Oh,
because they're not. They're abusive relationships that end up in this instance was just a movie long fridging of a human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. Agree.
But what are they supposed to do? She's not in the sequels,
there's
right?
There's a million so ways you could have done there. This, though.
You could have done literally anything else. Literally so anything else except keeping her in a confinement, essentially, for the entirety of their relationship. Like, she was the one who went into hiding when they got a relationship. Anakin's running around like, you know, fighting and saving the galaxy. And she's just kind of sitting at home being like, oh, my Annie. I wonder if he'll ever come back.
Oh, my Annie.
Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest problem is the Phantom Menace. And I say this as the Phantom Menace is the one that I love the most. And I've talked about this obsessively, exhaustively.
And this is the original. This is the first movie, right?
Yeah.
Phantom Menace. Yeah. And, you know, the Phantom Menace episode one, that's sort of like patient zero for this stuff. Because like obviously above that is like the George Lucas of it all. But the Phantom Menace is like, it's so wholly his vision. There's so many expectations on it. It comes out. It's rightly panned, right? Like it's, you know, by like we as like human beings with sense and taste as a culture are like duty bound to drag it. And, George Lucas, like there's even like the famous clip of like, maybe we went too far in certain points. So like, the next two movies are spent like walking back some of like the misfires from the first one. For a long time, I've said that like the Phantom Menace is the least offensive of the movies insofar as like, well, it doesn't really do anything that like long-term damages things. But I think I've come around to believe that because it gets everything on such a bad foot with like weak foundations of character, like strange like circumstances, not like burning through story in an economical way, but just like throwing like cash on a bonfire with all of like the pod racing, which I know, you know, we've talked about, and like the Duel of the Fates and having characters that like spending so much time on Qui-Gon Jinn, who doesn't matter at all. That by the time you get to episode two and so much stake was put in, so much stock was put into Jar Jar being like a successful character for George Lucas's plans, and it's not working. Okay, well, we can never do anything with that character again. And then with Padme, they're like, well, what do? We have nothing to do with her. I guess we're not going to do anything there. So it goes back to the fact that like it started off on just like a really bad foot. There was just like it was like stumbling, and now the job was basically like, how do you land in such a way that maybe you don't break every single bone in your body?
Mm. But that's like the Yoda. That's like what Yoda does here. He fights Palpatine once, and then he immediately is like, well, I lost. I guess I'm going to exile myself forever. And it's just like, that movie fumbled, sure. You still have choices. There's still things you could have done. It's weird to think, well, what do we do with Padme? I don't know. Nothing. Just like, you have options, dude. There's a lot of things you could do. But like, maybe that's why he decided to do that with Yoda, because that's all George knows how to do. Just, I quit. I don't know. Just put it, just write down words on paper, film it, and we'll see what happens. Like, there's, again, so many choices, especially for this one, even with the stuff that they set up, that they could have done here, and it still could have been good. Even if the foundation of the first movie was bad, there's still ways that they could have easily salvaged this one, because it's the most obvious one. We know so much about what was supposed to happen, and they still deliver those reasonings in the worst possible way.
And there are lots of movies, like trilogies or multiple movie installments that start off not so great, and then they build and get better. So, yes, there are a lot of problems that are set up in the initial movie, but I feel like if someone, I mean, we talked about this before, if someone had been just like, hey, George, I'm going to get fired for this for sure.
But don't do what you're doing.
Just stop it.
Yeah.
Please.
I was going to say Fast and Furious, Fitzy. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So Fitz is pointing out the Fast and Furious as a franchise as an example, I think, LT, of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like,
thank you, Fitzy.
Movies that have started like weekly and then, I don't know. I guess I haven't watched one.
I'm even thinking about the Captain America movies, because my favorite movie in the MCU is Winter Soldier. And I didn't think that the first Captain America movie was that great.
Oh, I really like
it. I mean, okay.
Thor. Yes. Josh Lemer comes in and says Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, Thor. There you go. Unlimited power.
They had two bad ones.
Like, dude, just because the first movie wasn't good doesn't mean you have to write this third movie and have a robot that has bronchitis. Like, why did you make that choice when there's a robot with bronchitis?
Yeah, I'm the only one allowed to have bronchitis around here.
Well, there's a robot with bronchitis?
Grievous, man.
Oh, he does have... Yeah. To call him a robot is fairly reductive, Kevin, and I don't know that he would appreciate that.
He's a sentient being, Kevin.
He's like a cyborg.
Come on.
That was another example where it was just like a buildup of a character that could have been cool. Again, he's just really bad at doing this. And it's just like you have 2 seconds where it's just like, oh man, four lightsabers, that's crazy. Here comes
the part
crazy.
Of the podcast where Kevin issues his general grievance.
Yeah, the
airing of general grievance.
Did you get it? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that gif is amazing.
Tessa has just posted a great gif of General Grievous with like 1,000 arms popping out of his body, twirling a bunch of lightsabers, some cool colors in the lightsabers, something I've never really seen.
That was like one of the cool parts of this movie.
Some burgundy, it was enough colors that like Joseph would be jealous.
Joseph would be
Grievous on the Technicolor lightsabers.
Yeah, Joseph would be mad. And he just flips all the lightsabers and blows himself up. It's
2
really great
seconds.
Gift.
It was a cool moment where you have these 4 lightsabers and then immediately one gets cut off and you're like, oh, all right. Like, it's just, he wants to spend so much time on shitty dialogue that the cool action stuff just got left by the wayside, which is, again, insane for what this movie could have been.
Yeah.
Him killing younglings. Jesus.
That's my favorite part,
though.
Oh, he's
gotta kill the younglings.
What are we supposed to do?
Oh, yeah. So you know how I like to do it. I like to do the line reads, right? Like the yippee off and stuff. This was the one that I wanted to do, was could everybody do their best version of Master Anakin, what are we supposed to do? I'd love everyone to do their best impression of that line read.
Ooh.
I wish there was a visual.
It's hard, yeah.
It is. The visual, the best part of it is not just a line. It's when he pops the lightsaber and the kid steps backwards.
Yeah,
I'll just do it because it's my favorite. I'll just take the prize, Master Anakin. What are we supposed to do?
It's like,
and
then he pops the lightsaber, and the kid's like, "Oh shit!"
They apparently had, I believe they had Hayden Christensen or whomever was wielding this lightsaber at this point, just kind of pop out of nowhere and go boo and scare the kids so they could get that reaction.
Tiny, he's a next level actor.
Oh,
this kid who reacts to it.
I'm pretty sure that's
someone's son. I think that's Lucas's kid.
I'm sure he's someone's son. You're right, Kevin.
Someone made that.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic little actor.
Cut down.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Master Anakin.
What are we supposed to do?
What are we supposed to do?
And then he pops the lightsaber and he's like, oh, kids, run. We got
to
go.
It's like, oh, there's nowhere for you to go because you're on a sky planet.
You have the clone troopers shooting the actual adult Jedis. And then you have him go murder children. Have the troopers go do this part. And have Anakin fighting the others. There's, again, So many choices.
No, because we need to get him. We need to hate Anakin quickly. We don't have enough reasons yet.
I saw him acting in these movies. I hated him. It's fine. Mission was accomplished.
Yeah, but him murdering all of those Tusken Raiders, nothing. Like, that was necessary. We didn't feel anything from that one. So we definitely... So, like, the quickest way to get you to hate someone, have them murder either children or a beloved animal.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Because if you read one screenwriting book or if you watch one video on screenwriting, then you're good to go. And you should just be given all of the money to write your passion project.
You murder children. We know you're the bad guy. Like Hayward. Yeah. Shoot a gun at kids. There you go.
Yeah, just empty a clip at kids.
No spoilers. Red card.
No spoilers for whatever that was.
X card.
Yeah.
Spoilers. No spoilers. Now I'm just repeating takes from the podcast I did with Ben, but it is worth bringing up again just how great it is when the stormtroopers, or the clone troopers rather, tell Jimmy Smits to like hightail it out of there. They're like, get out of here, Jimmy Smits. And his response is, and so it is.
So it is.
It's just my favorite.
Like, and so I need to be around for Rogue One. And so it is.
And so it is.
I also love Jimmy Smith was like, we'll take Leia. We'll take her here. What do you want to do with Luke? I don't know. Take him to the Skywalker Ranch. Yeah.
Whatever.
This get
whatever.
Out of here.
We're splitting them the up. I don't family? Care. I shouldn't know.
Yeah, we talked about adopting a girl. That's not one of those. Get it out of here.
Well, so this was something that Ben and I talked about, and I said we would bring this up on the live feedback show. So it's time, and I think I have the answer. But my very sincere question... It's going to sound cheeky, is Darth Vader an idiot?
Again.
Is it canon? Is it just canon that Darth Vader's an idiot?
Is an idiot?
And I'm not just talking about like the prequel stuff. I'm talking about also like in the original trilogy too. You know, like it's not that he's like doing stuff and like he's just like, you know, outsmarting the rebels. He's out muscling them and he's like out forcing them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, he knows bounty hunters, but like the bounty hunters are really the ones that do the work. It doesn't like, you know, you could be an idiot and have cool friends or like accomplished friends. I think Darth Vader's canonically dumb.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's everyone's an idiot at best. But two, like
the
best reason in these movies, except Sheev, the best reasoning for it is just that like Palpatine's like, yo, they're dead. Like she died. Kids are they're dead. You killed them. Sorry, bro. And he's just like, all right, I guess they're dead.
He'd
have no reason to go back to Tatooine because he's just like, that place is just misery for me. Why would I ever return there? So he has no reason to assume that they're alive or to go to Tatooine for funsies. So, like, benefit of the doubt, that's why he doesn't do it. But it's still dumb. I mean, so, like, yeah, I just... It's... the dumb stuff about Darth Vader in this is everything Anakin does. Like, those are the dumb stuff, right?
Yes,
like,
just he does so many dumb Palpatine, things.
Everyone in these movies, again, are really stupid compared to Sheev Palpatine. Because he's the only one who somehow has some semblance of intelligence, I suppose. And they all fall for it very, very quickly. Mace Windu is just there just like... Oh man, you should keep an eye on him. I think he's evil. And it's just like, okay, cool. Hasn't he been grooming this kid the whole time? Yeah. And you want to put that kid in that position? Yep. Okay.
Like, yeah.
Again, decisions.
It's also just like, so if someone that you care about and trust who dies, getting this child to you saying this person is supposed to help fulfill the ancient prophecy, right? Wouldn't you think that they would like give a couple more shits about this kid and like who he was being exposed to and like what type of stuff he was learning? I get that he's older now and that, you know, he's supposed to go out into the world and like make his own friends and make decisions based on what he was taught. But it seems like they would have way better tabs on him and making sure that he's not just getting brainwashed the entire way. And groomed by Sheev. And no one's paying attention. It's like no one is paying. Like, what are they doing? Just sitting around in that room sitting and getting circles, force high? What's happening in this movie?
That'd be a great scene, though.
Force fumes?
Something.
Fuming on the force.
What does
guys.
That look like? Yeah. Oh, these midichlorians. Oh my God.
So many midichlorians. I don't understand it. He seems like very important stock to the Fitzy, the Jedi.
Fitzy you know? Goes, meditate, I must. But meditate is in quotes.
Yeah, seriously. They meditate a ton.
Does that mean what I think it means? I don't know.
Who knows?
Speaking of that, though, to jump into to the Yoda of it all, another thing where it's just like, I wish Yoda was better. And again, decisions. Like, the Sheev Palpatine in the Yoda fight was great because, again, over the top in the best way possible. But then that fight, like, I wish that fight was just them throwing the Senate at each other. Like, that would have been interesting. Every time Yoda pops out with a lightsaber, and then also now Sheev has a lightsaber bouncing around like two, you know, cartoon characters, it's ridiculous. But when they got to the Senate, I was like, this could have been a cool fight. I wish they had more of this, where it's like these two, like, powerful force users using the force, throwing stuff at each other, catching lightning. Like, that's all cool stuff they should have done. Again, what Palpatine was, you could have had this force of force that is horrifying and terrifying versus like jumping, spinning around again, like mannequins on strings. It really loses
mannequin Skywalker.
The power Skywalker. Of any of it. Mannequins.
Can we also examine what could possibly be the reason that Anakin at this point in his life is so malleable and like changeable about everything? Because this whole, I'm trying to protect Padme, I'm trying to protect my unborn child, doesn't know yet they're twins thing, only gets us so far. I understand that he had those similar types of dreams with Shmi about his mom and wasn't there to try to stop her death from happening, and therefore feels very, I'm sure, traumatized by that. Again, this seems like something that the Jedi would want to address immediately when it happened, as opposed to just being like, oh, we'll just keep training him, everything will be fine. But like, what, there has to be more of a reason behind why Anakin wants this power than simply protecting Padme. Like, has to actually just want the power. And I think it would be okay for them to say that and not try to like give it this thin veneer of like nobility.
I mean, the reason why it all happened is because the script dictated it. That's as far as they went for thought.
Yeah, really, it would be a short podcast, right? It's like, it's a bad script, guys. Yeah, but like, they didn't write it well. But they got it wrong.
That would be, like, LaTanya is right. Like, so many choices of what could have been interesting. But again, Lucas had this weird idea of writing what he thought was a Shakespearean tragedy between these characters. And so, like, he wanted to have the connection be towards, like, oh, he's trying to protect Padme. And, like, what he wanted was unfortunately very, very poorly translated onto screen. And like, that could have been an interesting story if done right. And I agree, it could have been also good if he was just like, oh man, now that I've gotten a taste of power, this is pretty good. And just have him go that route. Like, that would have also been good, but it's just this bad, again, like, Lucas is bad at everything. Like, the directing is bad, the writing is bad, and like, in this one, his overall concepting, while interesting, the execution is bad. Very, very bad.
So, can we talk about just like, if we had two things that we could do differently?
More Sheev.
Okay. That's a completely acceptable answer, actually. More Sheev earlier in the trilogy.
This movie.
Not just the movie. I think
your instincts are right here. Let's do this, right? Because this is the final word on the prequels. Next month when we come back, it's going to be me and Fitzy, and we're going to talk some Bad Batch. That's canonically where we're going next. That's the new show that's coming out. So I think Brendan and I, we've said we're going to do two podcasts on the Bad Batch, and that's what's coming up in May, which means this is it. This is the chance. What would we have changed? What would we have done differently? Let us warg like Brandon Stark into George Lucas. What's our like Hodor moment? Like What do we impact? Which doors do we hold? Which doors do we close? I think this is great, and I think everybody should get two. I like this instinct. I think this is great.
Great.
LT, do you have one that comes to mind for you? Like, is there like one, like, are there one or two things that you're like, flip the switches on these two things and so much changes for the better?
Well, starting at the very beginning, it would be really nice if you could just change Anakin's age.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe make him older.
Make younger. Oh.
Oh, I mean, I guess, or younger. Yeah. Like, right now, he's in this weird, are you an angel, like, middle period, yeah, where, you know, he still gets that.
Brooklyn Zed's not going to like the idea of us
changing anything about that
Jake
movie.
Lloyd. Yeah,
I understand. Yeah. It may be my favorite movie of all three of these movies, if I'm being honest. But I mean, his age here seems pretty important because he's already touted as a little bit too old. So maybe younger is the way to go. He's touted as a little bit too old to train. Maybe he's more set in his ways than people have investigated, if that is even something that the Jedi do with their pupils and Padawans. Who even knows? They probably just put him in a room to be, oh no, they do. They just put him in a room to be massacred by another one of the Jedi. But anyway, yeah, so have him be younger. Have him be able to be molded a little bit more, and therefore maybe he would not have instantly gotten the, like, gotten his clutches, like, Sheev wouldn't have instantly gotten his clutches around him because he would have been so much younger when he came to train there. Yeah. And that would have meant, like, a completely different, like, retcon of whatever his relationship would have been, and it wouldn't have been necessarily with Padme. I think they have Padme as a character because, especially in that first movie, Padme is like a real badass, and I like what she does in that movie. But maybe they're not supposed to be together because their age difference is weird anyway. So making him younger would make it even more weird. Let's not lean into that part. So make him younger, be able to expand the types of stories that you can tell as a result of that, and, like, you know, tell us, this is the prequel trilogy where we're supposed to be learning more about lore. Give us anything about the Jedi and, like, why they're there, what they stand for, why they're trying to recruit and train new people, what this ancient prophecy is all about, what it means in the context of Anakin. It's just like right now, it's the thing that they're giving us is nothing. It's like, go on, girl, give us nothing. You know what I mean? We don't learn. I thought that I would come out of this knowing more about the Jedi, but all I know is that they like to sit around in robes in a circle, and, like, who doesn't? But that doesn't tell me anything about what their motivations are, why their order is as long lasting as it is, and why they're so powerful. And they could have explored all of this through the eyes of that kid. And then ultimately, in the middle of the second movie, started to give him the heel turn that eventually get Darth Vader. But for this, it's one of those, like, Danny sitting on top of a dragon on top of, you know, a tower, and then, like, getting mad and then just going ham on people, you know?
I was thinking, as you were saying this, like, kind of like refining, like, what I think my fix would be. And I think it's not far off. Like, the Anakin's age thing, I think is pretty key. I think that another thing that's key for me is that, like, and this comes at the expense of something that's very celebrated, which is the Clone Wars, you know, canonical television show. But I think that these movies had to take place during the Clone Wars, and I mean that across, like, all three. Like, this had to be, like, it's Star Wars, or, you know, like, there needed to be, like, a clear organizing thing throughout all these movies. And, like, you don't even get the Clone Wars until the very end of Attack of the Clones, and basically the very, you know, first half of Revenge of the Sith is, you know, where it ends. I think, like, that needs to be the through line. I think that needs to be, like, that's like the Rebels versus the Empire, of the original trilogy to the prequels, I think. And I think you have Anakin as, like, an older teenager to potentially even a young man who is like an untrained force user. And that makes it even more dangerous. He's like so valuable to the cause. We need him. We've just discovered him. But he's so wildly unstable and untrained that this is dangerous. And therefore, this like unstable element's going to become Darth Vader. I think like those are the fixes that I would make. And I think also like that way, like you stand a chance at having like an actual character with Anakin. Josh Lehmer notes a huge thing that would fix thing, make Anakin more like Han Solo, make him charming, have casual dialogue. Like, I think like that helps a lot. And I think that that's maybe more possible if you start him as like sort of an adult who's been scrappy and has had a hard life. And like, we don't know what his deal is, but he's been able to like get by doing like some like, you know, controversial force pushy things. And then like Obi-Wan's like, I think I could maybe rein him in. He's like a good guy and he's helpful. We're in the Clone Wars right now. And I was like, I don't know. He's pretty old. And like, then that actually makes sense as opposed to he's an 8-year-old. And you're like, wait, that's too old.
Right.
So like, I think some of these ideas that were like harder to sell, maybe visually and narratively, like maybe pass a little bit better if you change the environment and if you change the character's age.
I mean, I don't know. For me, I definitely agree with LT on like the Jedi is a huge problem for me. And like, it's not even that we don't know enough about the Jedi. I just feel like even the stuff we got is stupid. And I like a full rework of like the Jedi themselves, especially considering where we end up and how we see what the Jedi are like in the future. Like that, be more in line with stuff like that. Have them not be this like council and the politics of it all. I think there's something that could be there about taking in this young kid, training this kid, and the idea of like, oh, he's going to bring in prophecies. There's a lot in there they could have played with and done a lot with. The idea again, where it's just like, well, the Jedi can't have relationships, so that way we can create drama with Padme. Like all that stuff is so forced and stupid, and it's just like rework what the hell nonsense you thought to do with the Jedi, and that could have helped, I think, a lot. And you know, a minor thing again, but like I said, like make him like turn him into Darth Vader sooner, man. Like get to that point quicker and have that be like a big moment. Cause right now it just falls so. The whole point of this was to show this character's journey and story. And then to have it end up here the way it did is ultimately the failure of what you set out to do. And so I think having him make the turn quicker, having him become that character that we see sooner can again emphasize what we kind of saw him as, like set up the new or the original trilogy in a way that connects really well. This is sort of, I mean, you know, a big problem for me, as I mentioned, is that I really liked the character of Darth Vader. And for the longest time, this is where I was left with. This is what I had, is like the last image I had with Darth Vader is this no like thing, right? Like, and it's just like right. That sucks. And it's not even just like there's just something to make the character intimidate, to connect him to what we saw. And that's why like the two things I am so thankful for in existence is one, Rogue One, because like that was like, oh yes, that guy, that's the one where like when he shows up you're like, oh god, we gotta go. Like, and the other one that I think did it also excellently well is the video game Fallen Order. That like there's a scene in there and it's just like, holy shit, like it is a moment where you're just like, right, that's awesome, that's the character that like people freak out about, versus this one who's like there on fire screaming I hate you like in lava. And it's just like things like that to set up to like what you led to. And I think they've been doing the new stuff, you know, have been doing really well in like, I think, course correcting a lot of that stuff. Like obviously the Ahsoka scene and like the big scene at the end of Mando season 2. Like those are like moments of like, oh yes, that's the Jedi that we can come to understand, where it's more like samurai. It's more like these people who show up with a clear purpose and like knowledge. And you're just like, ah, yeah, we should listen to these guys, versus just we sit around and we just say vague things and still are super ineffective at everything we do. Because it's one thing where even Sheev Palpatine is just like, oh, he's so powerful. But like a bunch of robots also massacred half of them in Attack of the Clones. Just across the board, the Jedi in the prequels suck. They're not good at nothing, like anything, it feels like, which is unfortunate. Especially when you, again, you get cool stuff. You get Rogue One, where you have a character who may be force sensitive and is like sort of a Jedi. And it's awesome. Like, that character is really cool. You know, like, there's all this stuff that they do, and I'm glad they course correct once Lucas seems to be gone, because other people can have a bit of a say and people can challenge certain notions, I guess, of how to take the story. Maybe that's my big thing. Get rid of Lucas. That's my big change.
Get rid of Lucas,
and it would have fixed a lot.
That did happen.
Arguable results, which we will never discuss.
Maybe someday. You know, it sounds like I've got more time to podcast coming up here pretty soon. So we could get there. But I think I think look, the prequels, they're not beloved. They're not very good. I think that there is something of like a reevaluation of the prequels that's happening. We've gone back, we've watched them. I've had highs and lows with the watch through of the prequels. I think doing it slowly has been interesting. Like, it gives you time to like chew on it. You watch it, you have your immediate reaction, you chew on it a little more. It either sours or certain aspects of it turn a little sweeter. It's been fun. I've definitely enjoyed going back to watch them. I don't anticipate watching the prequels again for a very long time. Yeah. I think it will be a long time to go before I watch any one of these three movies again.
It's just,
except for like maybe to like grab like I don't know, like screen grabs for purposes.
I mean, gifts, right? Like, this third one especially has like gifts of the walls.
Oh, they're awesome. Memeable. They're memeable. Yeah. And I was talking with Ben about this too. Like, I do appreciate the meme worthy qualities of, you know, because, you know, whatever, life is short. You know, we're okay. Or maybe we're not, but it's not because of Star Wars.
Life is short. Know? We're okay.
Maybe we're not. You know, I feel like if I've got like some funny Star Wars gifts out of it, like, I'll sleep at night. That's fine. It would be great if they were better. It'd be great if they were better. But speaking of better, like, we're moving on to better Star Wars stuff. And also, like, some things that, like, I either don't know well or I don't know at all. Like, Bad Batch, I know I've got to watch a bunch of Clone Wars episodes to get prepared for. I think it's really, there's like a literal batch of episodes at the start of the final season. And like, I think you can watch those and you're pretty much set. I'm excited to check out Solo for the first time. I've never seen it.
That'll be an interesting discussion.
Yeah.
I never watched it. I've never seen it. So that's fun for me.
I'm
looking forward to finding out.
I like Solo. I think it suffers from the minor quibbles I have with the prequel, where it's just like all the little things you like are going to be explained and references will be made and we're going to wink, wink a lot. And I'm just like, okay, I wish you could have just told me a Han Solo story, but that's fine.
Well, I'm curious about like the production history and like, can you see the trouble on screen? Like, I don't know. I haven't watched it. I have no idea. But I'm looking forward to checking it out. You know, I want to see, Flag Smasher Carly's origin story. Mm-hmm. I know she's there. Like, there's stuff that I want to check out. You know, like, I want to see that stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that we're going to do that in June.
Yeah, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge playing a droid is fantastic, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then I believe July is going to be
Rogue One.
I don't know if that's Rogue One or if that's Rebels. I don't remember which canonically comes first, but those will be July and August. So like, we're in an interesting period of time right now where I'm really excited, because even more than Clone Wars, I really want to watch Rebels. So I'm looking forward to that greatly. And I have only watched Rogue One the one time. I've never seen Rogue One more than once.
Neither have I.
I've seen so like, it twice, three times maybe at this point.
You know, this was like a reevaluation of a thing that I had seen a lot, and you know, don't feel particularly fondly for other than The Phantom Menace. And now moving into like some Star Wars territory that I either don't know at all or I don't know well. Mm. And it's mostly stuff that I don't know at all. That's kind of fun. I'm kind of excited about that. It's going to be a fun few months. You know, phase one of A Long Time to Go is done. And I think the next one is going to be like some Uncharted territory stuff. And that could be cool.
Yeah. I can't see myself coming back to the prequels anytime soon at all. Just for fun, like, it's just, especially with the discourse going on, I know there was a lot of that talk, right, about like, oh, well, the prequels are better than the new stuff. And, like, especially having watched it now, no, that's insane. The prequels are just, collectively, they're all bad. And at least with the new stuff, I can be like, well, some of this was good. And, like, again, even knowing how the new stuff ends, that makes me angry. This also ends really badly. So it's just, like, nothing about the prequels, to me, is like, oh, yeah, let's definitely buckle down to watch this versus the other ones. At least to an extent, there's a lot in there I can enjoy and like. And even just visually, I think there's a lot to enjoy and like. The non-usage of desperation of CGI the whole time, for one, I guess, in the new stuff is really a benefit. These movies are dated, super old, especially because of that use of CG. George was obsessed with it, clearly, when he's, like, futzing around with the original, too, right? Like, using CG.
Yeah,
to,
like, he did, like, remaster them. I was going to say, like, to, you know, to bring it to some stuff that I enjoyed from this movie, so it's not all a pile on for everybody. Like, yes, the CGI was, there was a lot of it. There's just CGI proliferation everywhere. One of the things I was going to say is I want to ride that, like, friendly looking dragon that Obi-Wan gets to ride. So that looks pretty great. Some of the CGI, especially in the beginning of, like, fighter pilot battle, is not bad. I think it holds up pretty well. And I know that we all need our puppet Yoda. Like, it has to, like, don't be afraid of the puppet. But having CGI Yoda be able to kick some ass, it didn't look as bad as it looked in the second movie.
That's true.
So I enjoyed that. I mean, it's cool getting a chance to see a character like Yoda, who you know primarily is, like, the wise kind of, like, jokester, who always has a little bit of, like, knowing smile on his face. Actually, like, you flash back and he was actually able to kick a bunch of ass. So that part was cool, I thought. And as always, the costumes and the hair and, like, all of that stuff, the way that Padme looked in her funeral that did not need to happen, but did anyway. She was gorgeous in that moment.
Sio Bibble outlived Padme. I just want to put that out there. Sio Bibble lived longer. He made it further.
Good gracious.
Kind of a shot.
Yeah. That's where we are. And we're like scraping the bottom of the barrel to try to, like, find any good thing that happened during this movie.
As a society.
I mean, that speech again, or that confrontation dialogue. Again, the TikTok of it all definitely helps, but it is just very entertaining that, like, I have been bring peace, freedom, and justice to my new empire. Like, that entire exchange is hilarious and extremely entertaining, so... If anything, I'm thankful for that. The movie gave us that, and I'm very happy. So
it very much did give us that.
Overall, if we are going to grade the prequels with a single word, I do believe it's an obvious one, and that word would be no. On that note... I think I'm going to call it here, folks. I think that's where we're going to end our coverage of the prequels. Next month, Brendan Fitzpatrick and I, we're going to launch into some Bad Batch coverage. We'll at least cover a couple of episodes at the start, do a check-in towards the end of the month as well. I think we're looking at two podcasts to do there, but it'll also be dictated, of course, by what the episode load looks like. We'll see how it goes. Certainly, at the very least, you can expect some Bad Batch coverage. That's what we'll do in May here on A Long Time to Go. Meanwhile, over on Everything is Super, which I'm very eager to get back to, but not quite yet, Kevin and LaTanya, you and Mike Bloom have some work to do figuring out the heck's going to go on with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, LaTanya.
Yeah, what indeed? It seems like we're headed into a dilly of a pickle for the last episode, and I'm very excited about it. It's been really good podcasting with Kevin and Mike as well. Even though we missed you, Josh, we did intentionally mispronounce your name several times on the last podcast. It had to be
done.
What
are you going to do? You're not the only Marvel podcast to have done it.
So. Well, at least we did it on purpose.
Yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, no.
But I'm used to it by now, and thankfully everyone knows not to at me at this
seriously point, so. But that's been great. If and when you decide to join us, we welcome you. We welcome you. Fa la 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 la.
Oh, well, we've got plans. Oh, we've got plans. Okay. I'll be back for the Falcon and Winter Soldier feedback show that we'll do a week after the finale. I'll give some takes because I haven't given any yet.
Yay.
And then Kevin, I think that'll probably be around the time that we'll announce our mystery plans, which shall remain a mystery for now. But we do have an idea of what will be the next immediate iteration of Everything is Super. And I know, Kevin, you're pretty hyped.
Oh, I'm pretty excited about where we're going.
Yeah, y'all, there's such a mystery. I have no idea, and I don't even know if I'm invited.
We're keeping this one very close. We're keeping it.
We'll see.
Keeping it close. Circle of trust is so far just me and Kevin.
I got it. I accept that.
It's tight. It's tight, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be really great. And that's going to be, that podcast will launch like 3 weeks from now. So we've got some time. Kevin, you're also doing a Mighty Ducks coverage on the Post Show Recaps patron feed.
That is
with Melissa
accurate.
Woodward.
Quack, quack, Mr. Wiggler, quack, quack.
How's that going?
That's going great. Yeah, Melissa and I, every week, we're reviewing Mighty Ducks Game Changers, a new Disney Plus series that is about, the sequel continuation to the Mighty Ducks franchise. Very entertaining. We have a good time. We play a lot of games to showcase the fact that I don't know sports or Canada. So that's always fun.
That's great.
We have a really great time with that. So you can check that out on the Patreon feed. If you sign up, I believe, just for the $5 level, you can totally get that. And
for sure.
One other thing I'm going to plug is that every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, I am in a live stream hosted by the amazing Philly. Rich, who's our DM here in the Discord. He has a show that he does on his Twitch, of which I am a part of, along with a couple other awesome, awesome people. You can check that out on his feed, twitch.tv/rphilly. I have to actually now look this up later, but you can find
it's twitch.tv. It's twitch.tv/dmphilly.
There it is.
And the show is called Kings of Neon.
That is
which
correct.
Is a great title. Just fantastic
it's super
title.
Cool. It's super cool, and you should definitely check it out.
Oh,
if you want to watch like Kevin role play some stuff, it's definitely a
one
thing
last thing for me to pitch. Definitely watch Kevin role play some things and like laugh your ass off and enjoy it. And listen to the Mighty Ducks. If you have time, please tune in to the Top Chef Rehap Up. That I am doing with Haley and Kurt over at RHAP. So right now I'm kind of like, I got my head like.
You're kind of a big deal.
No, I wasn't going to say that.
But I get to
say
it.
Oh, thank you. I am getting to do some RHAP stuff and also some stuff over here, obviously at my home on Post Show Recap. So I hope that you all, if you're checking out Top Chef, you are enjoying the podcast. And if you're not checking out Top Chef, you could because it's fantastic and entertaining. And it's a good season so far.
It's been fun. So check all of that stuff out. Plenty of stuff to check out here on Post Show Recaps beyond everything we've already said. Down the Hatch is finishing season 4 this week. So some incredible things are going on the Final Fantasy podcast. And plenty happening in the patron feed. And this is an exceptional time to become a patron of Post Show Recaps. News that I have revealed via social media and in the Post Show Recaps patron program as well, that I have decided that I am going to pursue my passion as a full-time podcaer, which means I will soon no longer have a normal human being day job and will just be one of these crazy people who podcasts for a living. That will be coming up mid-May is when I'm going to be all in full-time post-show recaps. You subscribing to the Patreon will make that effort much nicer. It would be lovely to have your support. It is certainly not mandatory. We love everybody who listens to the shows. However works best for you in your life, you got to make it work for you. But if you've got it in you to sign up for the Patreon, now is just such an exceptional time to do it. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You get a lot of value out of it. At the $5 level, you get a bunch of bonus podcasts. At the $10 level, you get those podcasts as well as access to the Discord, which is our community hub, which is where you can watch us podcast live, such as this podcast. You could be a fly on the wall for. There's so many other different activities that you can get involved in. At the $15 level, you get hats. Everyone loves a hat. So there's plenty of reasons to sign up in terms of like tangible rewards. But then there's also just if you like these podcasts, you want to support the hosts on the network, it's just a wonderful time to do it. So think about it. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Think about signing up. Worth your while, I promise. With all of that said, I do believe it's time to wrap it up. It's the end of our prequel coverage, to which I've had such a good time that I can only say, yippee, because it was so much fun. Or as I like to say, yippee.
It was good,
very much good.
Good. It's an entertainment.
The power of the prequels. No. Power of the prequel podcast. Good.
Should we listen to the prequel podcast? Do it.
So thank you all for playing along. Kevin, LaTanya, a blast as always. And all of you out there in the podcast audience, a long time to go. We'll return in early May with coverage of The Bad Batch. Until then, as I like to say, Corey B., take us away. Thanks again for listening to the podcast this week. Before we close things out one more time, let's thank our friends. Those are your friends and mine over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? I'm sure you do. And it's hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Good thing, too, you're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com.